always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a writer for the Step Back and Miami Heat Tip-Off Mag. I'm here as always with credentialed NBA writer David Ramil. We've got a great Monday show in store. We're going to talk about the Miami Heat's loss to the Golden State Warriors, Kelly Olynyk's fit with the Heat, and Hassan Whiteside's latest injury. But let's start there with the Heat's blowout loss to the Warriors. David, did you expect anything different going into Sunday night?
You know, if you ask me for my personal opinion, I probably would have expected Golden State to come out with a win. I didn't think it was going to be as much of a blowout if we're only, you know, Miami had actually held them to under 100 points in a matchup at Golden State. So I assumed that they might be able to duplicate some of that success, although with Whiteside being out, that seemed a lot more daunting an option. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to cover Golden State shooter round when they were in Orlando just before heading down south to Miami. And one of the things Steve Kerr kept talking about and repeating over and over is that the mantra for the season, the theme of the season, is battling complacency. The only thing that Golden State is battling on a consistent basis is themselves, boredom and lethargic behavior, because they are fully aware at this point that they are unbeatable. I think they have, like, as good as they've been over the last three seasons, I think they're even better this year. They have an ironclad knowledge of how good they are, and so they don't have to put it out there on a nightly basis because they've got Steph Curry, because they've got Kevin Durant, because they've got Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, et cetera. They are so good that, you know, if anything, sometimes they can take nights off. Even at one point during the third quarter, I know we'll probably get into some of the details about the game, but it started off with Steph Curry getting particularly hot and then Kevin Durant kind of taking over. I mean, to have that kind of balance in their lineup where you could be so completely dominant, and it's not just one player, but two players taking over and kind of, you know, sitting back and saying, all right, now it's your turn to crush the opposition. That's a powerhouse. And so I wasn't sure whether or not they might be able to go in there and kind of have, you know, the South Beach virus. And maybe after being out till 3 a.m, God knows where, maybe they might not necessarily be as engaged as they could have been. So it could have gone either way. But ultimately, I mean, they're just far too talented. And with that Whiteside, Miami's, you know, chances of knocking off the world champions were very slim.
Yeah, Whiteside, a lot of times he'll have a good game against Golden State. His size is usually a problem for them. But I want to go back to that thing where you said about battling complacency, because I was watching the Warriors broadcast and they talked about a lot about Dion Waiters and him hitting that shot and how, you know, the Warriors, they don't lose a lot of games. So when they do, they remember them, right? And they almost take it personally. And I did feel like in that game they said, we're not going to lose to you twice in 2 years. Not going to happen. Just not going to happen, especially to Dion Waiters. And Kevin Durant picked up Dion Waiters from the beginning of the game. Durant was on Dion, and he had that assignment. He mentioned it, I think, in the pregame. I saw an interview. He saw, yeah, I've got Dion tonight, and one of the reporters asked if he was nervous, and Durant just said, "Yeah, I'm nervous," and kind of laughed it off.
Right. Like sarcastically, obviously.
Yeah, sarcastically. Like, yeah, I'm nervous for Dion Waiters. He's like, he calls him ball hard Dion Waiters, but.
Did you see that interaction, though, with Anthony Slater?
That's right.
You know, he asked him if it was ball hog Waiters. I was like, well, that's pretty appropriate. But no, it was actually ball hard Waiters. Yes. Interesting little going back and forth there. That was pretty cool to see.
I know they lost the game. They gave up 123 points. But what stood out to me was that I think this team could be really good defensively. That series when Bam Adebayo defended Steph Curry You know the one I'm talking about. Right. Absolutely. There on the perimeter. He looked like Kevin Love in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and I mean that in a good way. You know, he's now done that to LeBron, he's done it to Jimmy Butler, and now he's done it to Steph Curry. That's not something Hassan Whiteside can do. I'm not saying that Whiteside's worse or better defensively or is somehow not valuable to this team. The Heat are clearly better when he's on the court, at least for now in the short term. But I'm only saying that Whiteside can't do that. Whiteside can't do to Steph what Bam did to Steph. Bam can't defend the rim as well as Whiteside. The Heat miss Whiteside when he's not there. But Whiteside can't do what Bam did. Bam can. And he's done it. He's done it to Steph. He's done it to LeBron. He's done it to Jimmy Butler. He's done it to the best offensive players in the league. And at least for right now, the Heat have both Whiteside and Bam. So this team, with Bam Adebayo, with Josh Richardson, with Justice Winslow, they can be really good defensively. I get it. They gave up 123 points, but that's the Warriors. I just think that in a year or two, if they still have those three guys are the anchor of a really, really good, versatile, switchy defense. They might not be able to score a point on offense, but at least defensively, this team could be really good. Like, those young guys could be really good.
There's a mailbag question that kind of addresses the whole question about Whiteside and his impact on the team. So I'm looking forward to responding to that and kind of digging into it a little bit more deeply. But you're absolutely right that it's not necessarily a knock on Whiteside. It's, you know, Whiteside is good at what he does. And I think after three seasons with Miami, we're all painfully aware of what he does and, of course, what he doesn't do. The problem is that today's league is changing dramatically, and even rim protectors are capable of being versatile defenders. A guy like Kristaps Porzingis, perhaps. I mean, you know, I think Whiteside's very limited as far as his perimeter defense. We've seen moments where he can pick up a ball handler, but Steph Curry, no. LeBron James, no. Jimmy Butler, absolutely not. So to see Bam Adebayo, a rookie at 20, I'm much more optimistic that he'll be able to become a rim protector given his length and athleticism than Whiteside's ability to become a stellar perimeter defender. And so with Adebayo already showing flashes in one area, I think there's room for improvement in the other one. And I think he can become the anchor of a defense in the future. So that's a good point even by you, I think.
Even if he's not as good, even if he's never as good as Whiteside is as far as just defending the rim, I would rather have the guy who could adequately defend the rim, but also do what he did to Steph.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and like I said, for now, they have both of them. Like, for now, they have both of them. And they've got both of them locked into long-term contracts. If they want to keep both, they can just keep both. And I don't know, we could get into how you play the two of them at the same time, or how you stagger those minutes or whatever, but for now, they've got both. For now, so this Heat team could be, they already are good defensively, but they could be really good defensively, I think, if everything breaks right. I want to talk about Kelly Olynyk. He had an impressive 20 minutes against the Warriors. But first, Lockdown Heat still has inventory for sponsorships this season. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. Say you own a sports bar or a sports memorabilia store. Maybe you're a real estate agent or a contractor, and you're unhappy with traditional advertising online or in print. Know that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers. Locked On Heat listeners are generally male, about 96%, and between the ages of 18 and 45. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and money. For more information on rates and next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. All right, later on we're going to talk about Whiteside's injury, but let's get to a Twitter comment first. This one comes from Billy Kuhn. Using the hashtag AskLOHeat, he says, I feel like Kelly Olynyk's play is what Miami envisioned for Josh McRoberts had he been healthy. I think that's true. Olynyk, 28 minutes against the Warriors. He had 14 points on 5 of 11 shooting, made one of his two three-pointers, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in that game. Again, Miami lost, but they were going to lose to the Warriors anyway. I was impressed with that, not only Bam's defense, but also Kelly Olynyk, what he did, particularly offensively. What did you think of his game?
I mean, I've always enjoyed what he's done. Oh, I've enjoyed what he's done this season. I you know, I talked about him a number of times as our, you know, spotlight player of the game, because again, that versatility is something that's missing out of a lot of Miami's front court, with the exception of James Johnson and, you know, to some degree, Justice Winslow. I think Olynyk is right up there as far as his overall versatility. And Billy brings up a really good point that they were kind of hoping for that kind of front court player that could make dynamic passes. Although I think McRoberts is probably a smaller version of what they saw from, you know, what we're seeing from Olynyk right now. So
like physically smaller, or?
Yeah, not okay. Just physically smaller, but a little bit smoother. Like I think a little bit more versatile on defense. I mean, I like Olynyk, you know, as far as his versatility is concerned. He can switch on to smaller ball handlers. But I think McRoberts is probably a smoother ball handler, or at least he was. And unfortunately, he just never got a chance to show that in Miami. But Olynyk's been great. I mean, look, if you had said at the beginning of the season you'd get X number of points per game from Olynyk, that he'd be shooting nearly 50% from three-point range, that he'd be making crisp passes, that he hadn't gone into exceeding foul trouble at any point, and he hadn't been, you know, a detriment to the team defensively or offensively, I think we'd all be happy with it. I know there were questions about the investment that Miami made in the offseason, but I think he's lived up to that contract.
And he's just so intelligent. I mean, you think about that when he dunks on that fake dribble handoff.
Yes.
He's done that a couple times in the last few games, and you think of that because he's dunking as like, hey, look, an athletic play from Kelly Olynyk who looks clumsy all the time. But yeah. Really, that's not an athletic play. That's an IQ play there. That was a pass. Knowing that the defense that his back is to, basically, on that play, is being a little bit more aggressive than they should be, blitzing on the dribble handoff. Knowing that they're being a little bit more aggressive and then taking advantage of that by doing a fake dribble handoff, basically a play action pass there, and then just rolling to the rim for a wide open dunk, that's a smart play more so than an athlete play, right?
And I don't know if we've talked about it before on the podcast, although I think you and I have talked about it personally, but just the fact that Olynyk grew up as a ball handler, that he was a guard for most of his mm-hmm. young life until he started sprouting in height, and then he kind of like Anthony Davis, you know, kind of all of a sudden realized, oh, I've got to be a big man now, and that changes game. But you can see some of that fluidity there mm-hmm. when he's bringing the ball up court or dishing to everybody. And I think even a move like that, that's kind of like a little man's move. It's almost like a much taller version of what Goran Dragic does under the hoop, where he up fakes the defender and then gets past him and makes a move there. It's really smart. It's the kind of, you know, the kind of move I didn't know that Olynyk had, to be quite honest with you, but I'm glad he's brought it to Miami. And, you know, he brings more low post fluidity than Whiteside has ever demonstrated in three years. Whiteside's not a great, you know, low post move, you know, offensive player. He doesn't have much of a drop step. He's got that swooping hook. He's got a dunk. He can, you know, dive to the rim on pick and roll situations. But other than that, he's not creating much offensively. And I think Olynyk does that. And not, you know, the fact that he can dish off to other teammates, again, another aspect of Whiteside's game, that is not
just
there.
Just some really crisp, great anticipatory passes.
Right.
The offense just opens up when Olynyk's in the game. And to go back to Billy's Twitter question here, look, this is a type of player that the Heat clearly like and have wanted for a long time. You know, we can even go back to Chris Bosh when they got Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh showed all of these things in Toronto. You know what I mean? Like, as well as being a dynamite scorer, he was a great passer. He was really fluid. He was really mobile. And he was a power forward, which is kind of, you know, where they wanted to play McRoberts. And now with Kelly Olynyk, I think they wanted to play him there. Just turns out that he's better off playing center for them.
You can go back even further with Lamar Odom. I mean, they've had that prototype in mind for a while. It's in Jamal Mashburn even. You know, a guy who plays multiple positions, can create, can score, et cetera. So, I mean, look, I know that sounds kind of redundant to say, well, what if you can get your hands on a very tall, versatile player that can do a lot offensively? It's like, sure, of course, that makes sense.
But it's their mentality. Like, they are naturally unselfish. They want to get other guys involved. They want to be versatile. Like, they don't want to just score 23 points a game, right?
I feel like that's a kind of a dig at somebody. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm not sure.
So, look, they like that sort of player. They didn't get it with McRoberts. I defend that McRoberts deal. I will always defend that McRoberts deal. There's no way of knowing that he would have been as hurt and injured as he always was.
Right.
But they're getting it now. They're getting it now with Kelly Olynyk, and it looks great within the offense. All right, let's talk about Hassan Whiteside. We've already inadvertently talked about several times already on the show, but quick reminder, make sure you are subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show, and also be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA team and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball, the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, so Whiteside's going to be out for 1 to 2 weeks with a bone bruise in his knee. We haven't had a chance to talk about this yet. Obviously, the Heat didn't have him for the Warriors, and we saw what that looked like.
He was out against the Hornets on Friday.
And he was out against the Hornets, that's right. So he's missed two games now. He's going to be out for another 1 to 2 weeks, depending on his recovery. Personally, from what it sounds like, I think this Heat team, and given that how Kelly Olynyk and Bam Adebayo have been playing, I think you lean on more of the safe side of things, maybe closer to that 2 week period.
Oh yeah, I'd say so. I as soon as I heard the news, I don't know if you remember this, I didn't get a response, maybe because it was too pessimistic even for me. But as soon as I saw the response or saw the news that he was going to be out for 2 weeks, I texted you saying he'd be out. You know, the record for Miami during that 2 week span would be 2-5. You know, they've got some tough games coming up, and I know he makes a significant impact. I think even if you're losing a number of games, knowing that Miami still will be able to get him back into the lineup fully healthy, I think you still want to see what you've got in Olynyk and Adebayo in particular. I mean, Spoelstra has inserted him to the starting lineup. It makes a lot of sense. You continue to keep things smooth off the bench with Olynyk coming in as a reserve, and I think you can, you know, you can test the rookie. I think he's getting better and better with every performance. You know, we saw him match up pretty well against Dwight Howard. You know, Howard having a resurgent year in Charlotte, Adebayo didn't seem intimidated by him. You know, in fact, I think I pointed it out to you as well. There was a Road Tripping podcast with Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, although now it's Channing Frye versus Richard Jefferson because Jefferson's in Denver. They were talking about it a couple last week or so after Cleveland faced Miami. And Channing Frye in particular had nothing but superlative things to say about Bam Adebayo. Dwayne Wade, too. It was a podcast with Kevin Love, Dwayne Wade, and Channing Frye. And they were talking about Adebayo's flexibility, his strength, that at just 20 years old, he shows a lot of promise. So
did I not text you back after that text either?
No, I did not get a response, man. I'm sorry.
You've totally outed me as a bad texter backer on the show. You totally outed me. I know I am.
Sorry. I mean, you know, if you don't want to be outed as such, then don't be that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you just gotta be more patient.
Yeah, it's been 4 days, Wes.
You see what I did there with the
yes
white side thing? Yes. Okay.
Oh,
you didn't?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was very subtle. Yeah, I think it's not a me problem. You just got to deal with it.
That's exactly
what
it is.
So what if I set bad screens?
That's right. So what if you don't text back? It's like maybe it's because I sent a bad original text that didn't require a response. The pressure's on me. I got to do better. Then meanwhile, I need somebody like Kelly Olynyk to say, no, his texts are great. I don't know what the hell Wes's problem is.
Let me help enhance that text with some emojis or whatever. I'm an unselfish emoji person.
There you go.
Look, Whiteside, let's be honest here. The Heat are worse than what they thought they'd be at this point. And this Whiteside injury gives them an opportunity to see what this team looks like without one of their most valuable assets. Right. I don't know how much they could get for Whiteside on the open market, but he is still one of their most valuable assets. That maybe that's a reflection on this roster, but that he is. And it gives them a look at a guy that they spent a lot of money on in Kelly Olynyk and a guy that they took 14th in the draft in Bam. And they get to see what those guys could do anchoring the center position without Whiteside. And so you want to keep one of your most valuable players healthy, which is one reason why I think they lean on the safe side and go closer to that 2 week. But at the same time, it gives you a lot of games to kind of measure this team and say, what do we look like without Hassan Whiteside, who is so ball dominant and so dominant defensively? Without him, the team looks very different. And without a doubt, they've been worse without Whiteside this season. They've been worse without Whiteside this season. But that's not the question. They have not been as good as they wanted to be so far this season anyway. So it's irrelevant. The question is, what can this team be without Whiteside? How good can those two centers be without Hassan Whiteside? How good can the rest of the team be without Hassan Whiteside in there clogging the paint, maybe? I mean, those are questions that they need to answer, and this gives them a lot more time to figure it out. Whiteside's already missed several games, but in those games where he missed at the beginning of the season, they were still trying to sort out the rest of the rotation. The rotation, the lineup is set. You know, we know what the starting lineup is. We know the four guys off the bench are going to be. And now Whiteside is out for the second time, the second stretch in this season. And they have a lot fewer questions, you know what I mean, than compared to that first time when he was out. So I think it's going to help them kind of just gauge where they're at. I've got some numbers here, though, as far as what they're going to miss in the short term while he's out. The Heat's defensive rating when Whiteside is on the floor is really good, 99.3. So they're giving up about 99 points per 100 possessions. That's the best on the team. Whiteside is the best defender on the team, or has the biggest impact defensively on the team. When he's off the floor, that 99 points goes up to almost 108 points per 100 possessions. That's behind only Josh Richardson. So the team is way, way worse defensively when Whiteside is off the floor. The eye test could show you that. That's not even a question. Offensively, though, the Heat barely score with Whiteside on the floor. 96.8 points per 100 possessions versus 102.8 points with him off the court. So defensively, they're way better. Way better when he's playing. But offensively, they drop a little bit. Which I think those stats back up exactly what you would expect watching the team, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's some noise mixed in there, obviously. You know, we're getting some shaky performances from Deion Waiters to start the game. You know, he's been obviously a lot better to close games. And then you get some offensive punch from guys coming off the bench like Olynyk or James Johnson, et cetera. So, I mean, you can't. These numbers don't tell the full story, but they certainly tell a part of it. And I think, you know, we've never underestimated Whiteside's impact defensively. It's just that there is a glaring problem with him offensively. And these numbers back that up as well, that, you know, the ball isn't moving around as well. Even in the Golden State game, in the first half, you saw a much more fluid offense. The ball was moving. Everybody was touching it. It was getting around, finding open shooters. Then all of a sudden, that offensive kind of collapsed. And at the same time, and this is what Golden State does, they just blow games wide open in the third quarter because, well, they're capable of doing so. They can take whole quarters off, much like we saw during the Big Three era. You know, there were games there during the Big Three era in Miami where they would just take whole halves off and then all of a sudden just say, oh, you know, I think it's time for us to step on the gas a little bit. And they would leave everybody behind. And that's what Golden State is capable of. So as far as Whiteside is concerned, I mean, I think we already know at this point, you know, the flip side to his absence is, you know, you mentioned it as far as being able to gauge what you have on this team. If you do engage in any kind of, you know, trade discussions with him, I think that becomes a lot more clear, or you feel a lot more comfortable about your position knowing what you have on this roster. There's no downside to playing guys some minutes in Whiteside's absence. They're either going to get more experience when he comes back, if he's still part of the team long term, or if he's not, then you understand what you have on this roster, then you know what you need to fill this team, yeah, you know, as far as any kind of gaps you might have in talent.
There's not a ton of unknowns on this team since you're basically bringing back the same roster as last year. The only unknown on this team really is just, you know, general ceilings and what this team looks like without Whiteside, and they're going to figure that out. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow when we open up our mailbag. We didn't do the mailbag today because we had the Sunday night game, so we pushed the mailbag to Tuesday, so we'll get the mailbag up there. We're going to talk about Whiteside a little bit more. We'll talk about Tyler Johnson's struggles. We're going to talk about Donovan Mitchell, a personal favorite of you and I. But for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. You can send mailbag questions for next week and inquire about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Chris.